Item number four, from the Director, Department of Health and Human Services, requesting authorization to enter into a home agreement for $822,953 with Marion Center for Nonprofits, LLC, for the construction of 11 units of affordable supportive housing at 3211 South Lake Drive in St. Francis, Wisconsin.
Madam Chair, Supervisors, again, this is another home request, same type of funds for $822,953 with the Marion Center for Nonprofits. You heard a presentation earlier today. It is the same project that they're requesting block grant funds for. This will be around a 40-unit building, and again, this is for 11 units of home funds. We're in discussions to target those 11 units for disability services clients. The rest of the units will just be affordable units with some services from Milwaukee Center for Independence. So with any questions, the developer, Cardinal Capital, is here. And we have Teague Whaley Smith again for any questions about the underwriting.
Supervisor Mayo?
First, Madam Chair, I'd like to move approval. But my other question is now, when you start blending block grant and home funds together now because of we are not doing the whole county, so since we do a suburb, so that's why we want more block grants going into these projects right now.
Sure, Supervisor. We haven't done a lot of affordable housing with our block grant in
the past.
And I think it's a priority for the county. It's in our administrative plan. So we'd like to do more affordable housing projects, specifically in the suburbs. It is a lot more difficult to use CDBG money for those activities. We're targeting acquisition and soft costs that don't trigger a lot of the labor standards and different things that Ms. Wolfgang talked about. So it is a little more difficult, but it's a direction we'd like to move in.
I'd like to add that it also, in 2008, we had an impediment assessment for housing, and they talked about having more affordable housing accessible in the suburbs. And so we are, you know, meeting the goals of that plan that was required by HUD.
I do understand that, but I'm saying now what you are doing with the block grant, you are really focusing more into the home program and blending with different projects so you can meet that standard. Because in the past, we did not do that. So I noticed the last two, and that's what I really wondered why he was talking about both of them at the same time, so I understand that.
Supervisor Schmidt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, a lot of background, and this is good information. We're getting some changes that were talked about, so and I see the justification. Reports are good. These are very worthwhile projects. Again, one of some great things we can do. If necessary, I just feel a little more comfortable maybe hearing from Mr. Boltman on his evaluation of these as well.
Mr. Boltman, have you had to review this?
Just our general agreements, I guess I'm looking at.
On the use of block grant money or on the project overall?
I guess I'd ask both, please.
Okay. I think that it is appropriate to use block grant money for this particular project. The WIDA tax credits are being sold in a private market where there isn't as much market for it.
Yeah.
So there might be getting 60 or 70% 70 cents on the dollar for the WIDA tax credits. They used to get 80 or above because there was more of a demand for those tax credits. When companies aren't paying taxes because of their losses, they're not buying the credits. So I think, and then the critical thing for the county and the department is that these are supportive housing, and all three of these, and my comments on that would be apply to all three. Supportive housing is what the clients that we're talking about with disabilities who are in group homes or in other type of situations or being taken care of by family members who can't handle it anymore. So I think that when we can have supportive housing, then they can be somewhat independent. But if we had them just staying in a WIDA-funded apartment, many of these clients couldn't do that. And so what we're trying to do is move more people out of our mental health center and out of our rehab centers or groups home into this type of housing. And it meets their needs. And Marion Center, for example, has bus service there, and if I recall correctly, so does the Brown Deer Project.
Yeah.
Has bus service. That's critical. A lot of these people can't afford to drive or aren't able to drive. So I believe that this is a good use of this, and I do think that having 11 units out of a project is pushing the bar. They might be satisfied with 6 or 7, but this makes the agency make a better effort to put 11 units out of 40. It's like they're living in an apartment, not an institution. So I think it really does meet the needs of our, not just of our paper plan, but of the real needs of the patients themselves. So I would recommend all three projects.
And I didn't know that, but I guess I wanted to hear that and publicly be stated too. I mean, there's some really excellent goals here. You know, there's the national surveys talking about trying to move people into, you know, community housing and away from institutionalization in all areas, medical and mental. And, you know, on the board, we've tried to do this as well, and through your help too in our department. So it's these are concrete and specific ways and great ways to use our money to do exactly these goals. So I'm just happy to hear you say those kind of things too, besides what I've heard from our housing staff. So thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you all.
And just to repeat, the agency that's providing the supportive services is
Milwaukee Center for Independence, MCFI.
Any other committee concerns? Supervisor Ball?
Yes, I'd like to, thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to get an explanation. I know I'm getting confused, there's three different ones, but we are referring to which project is this?
This is the Marion
Center.
In year 15, there seems to be a ending of the numbers. I just want you to explain what happens in year 15 with the financing on this project.
Sure, Madam Chair, Supervisor, if you'd prefer, I can have Teague Whaley-Smith. It might be a good time to have him kind of walk through how this looks, and hopefully he can answer that question as well. Is that okay?
Please, why don't you identify yourself, state your
full name. Hello, my name is Teague Whaley-Smith. I'm an attorney with Community Development Advocates, which is a law firm and consulting firm that works with affordable housing nonprofits throughout the city of Milwaukee. We have worked with Milwaukee County on three different supportive housing projects where we represented clients directly. We do not represent any clients in these three transactions, and in fact, do not foresee taking on any more permanent supportive housing projects using county dollars. And so when the staff reached out to me to help them with their review process as they move forward with these, we're happy to oblige. We have reviewed all three projects. I'm happy to answer questions on each of them. For this particular project, I believe the question was regarding the 15-year compliance period. Because of the dollar amount involved in each, it would trigger a 20-year compliance for the county. So the home agreement that would be executed would have to indicate that compliance period. What would happen is after the 15-year period, the equity investor that the developer needs to get would be out of the picture, but the developer would still be there and in control of the project and would be required to continue that affordability period.
Is this like a balloon payment?
That's just the affordability period for making sure that those 11 home units are set aside for the individuals that are designed to serve. As far as the actual dollars, home dollars that you're putting in, the recommendation to fill the gap would be grant dollars, that it would not be repaid, because the way that these projects are structured, there are significant gaps on these projects that are not filled through tax credit equity or through the permanent financing available on the project. So these would be grant proceeds that go to the nonprofit partner. To throw a curveball at you, the way that tax credits work, the nonprofit then has to lend the money to the project, because otherwise it has an impact on the amount of tax credits they can receive. But this is a standard practice regarding city subsidy that has gone back since the very beginning of the program.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Can you also explain the cash flow up to year 2015, it seems that it continues to decrease in all three projects, and in this one in particular, it actually goes in the negative.
Yeah, what's really important to thank you, Supervisor. What's really important to understand about these projects is the way that I would best describe county resources, and hopefully, I'm not a fisherman, so I'm going to use a fishing analogy, and if I am way off base, let me know. But it's essentially the bait to get the big fish is essentially what the county dollars are. The big fish are affordable housing tax credits that will cover 80% of the cost of the development, whereas the county is only putting in approximately 10% of the cost of the development. But it's important that they do that now, that the county do that now, because it allows you to get more points on the WIDA application to be able to get the tax credits. And so it's the big fish that everyone's after, which is the affordable housing tax credits. This helps them do that. But the tax credits aren't enough, so not only is it bait, it actually helps with the entire project. So what's critical about this is that the tax credit process happens in February. And it's based on what's called a qualified allocation plan. That plan is just now being finalized, and so there are some things in these projects that inherently will have to be adjusted to meet the tax credit application guidelines, which is really critical for the county's review, because the county review, HUD requires a subsidy layering test, and in the regulations it says that you can rely on other reviews of the project, including the tax credit review. Not that we're waiting for that, but it is sort of an extra security blanket. What's required of that WIDA application is that they meet a debt coverage ratio of what's called 1.15 to 1.5, which means their cash flow has to be 15% or 50% higher than what it costs to pay the debt on the project. The reason you're seeing those negative numbers on this spreadsheet is because in order to fill the gap and show that they can fill the gap above and beyond what the county is committing and what above and beyond tax credits, is that they have been really, really aggressive on their permanent loans. And I understand why they do that, but in fact, we would actually recommend that they borrow less money, which would, again, increase their gap, and they are going to have to find resources to do that. When we run our analysis, we don't rely on the exact tax credit dollars or the exact interest rates. We use industry standards. And when using those industry standards, the amount that they're able to borrow comes down a little bit, which increases their gap, but it also fixes that cash flow problem that you're noticing. And so what I would expect is that the developers, during the tax credit process, they get their tax credits. They have to go through that process. An equity investor is bringing in, you know, $6 million or more to these projects. They have the same sort of requirement. So that problem will be fixed going forward. But because this is the first step in the process, just that bait, and we haven't even figured out the rules of the fishing game yet starting in February, I think that that is to be expected.
And you also mentioned with the investors investing equity to a certain point. Would that be true for these projects as well? Because it says 0%. Or it says zero amount of equity.
Well, in the application that we have, and I don't know if it's an exact copy of what you have, when it talks about the funding sources for this particular process, on page 8 of the spreadsheet, it says tax credit equity of $6.2 million. So it does reflect some equity in that regards. There are some, you know, this is a first-time process for me, for Gene, for everyone, and this particular spreadsheet is the template from HUD, which is a great start, but it's not perfect. If any of you have ever dealt with HUD forms before, you know that they're not perfect. So any of those issues that we can collectively gather to improve the process, we certainly should do that.
Right, and the equity developer investment, that amount you're saying could increase?
I don't expect it to increase. It certainly could increase. This is one of the more complicated projects, and this one is actually foreseeing using historic tax credits as well. Mm-hmm. And when historic tax credits mix with low-income housing tax credits, it creates some interesting sort of circumstances.
Okay.
I would say that the dollar amount listed by the investor, the developer at this point, is certainly in line with what we see market prices at for this particular project.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Matthews?
Madam Chair, Supervisor, just a quick clarification. Most of the supportive housing projects that I've taken in front of you in the past were for individuals in the Behavioral Health Division. I just wanted to make sure it was clear that these are for Disability Services Division consumers. So it might be more individuals that are developmentally disabled. It won't be for mental health consumers for this particular development. So I just wanted to be clear about that.
Thank you. And just to be clear, what this resolution is doing is approving the application for those dollars. There are a lot more steps that have to be encountered before this becomes a real project, including the city of St. Francis having to give approvals and so on. I know Supervisor Haas and myself have both had questions from this. Sometimes the community doesn't always understand that we're the ones approving the project. That's not happening here. We're approving some application for funds.
Correct, Madam Chair. This just gives us the authority if the project does move forward to commit these funds. So there still has to be all the public meetings and WIDA applications and everything else goes along with it. It just allows us to commit funds to the project if indeed it happens.
That's always a good thing to point out.
Sure.
Supervisor Mann?
Yeah. Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. But you got to realize we also are approving the project because we are using our funds to move ahead. So we'll be a co-partner with this. So let's make sure we make that very clear. Anytime we use our money, our funds, we are becoming a partner. So with the Marion company, whoever's here, because we are a partner. And plus, for 15 years, it's also saying that they are liable, not liable. They should have housing up to 15 years, maximum 20 years. After 20 years, they're not committed to have those housing for those individuals. But most likely, they can figure out some subsidize to keep them in that project.
Madam Chairman?
Mr. Feldman?
Yes, I did omit one thing that's important, which is that all three of these projects will pay property tax for the life of the credit, tax credits. And in many of them, at the end of the tax credits, are turned over to a nonprofit organization because the owner of the tax credits doesn't want any involvement once the tax credits expire. So they would be likely to continue to be provided with a different financial arrangement by this nonprofit owner at the end of the tax credits.
And I'm sure Brown Deer and St. Francis would be very concerned about whether these are property tax paying institutions or not, as will County.
Yep.
Any other questions or concerns on this? We do have a motion from Supervisor Mayo for approval. There are no other comments from anyone here. Supervisor Possum. Madam, you wanted to speak to item 4?
Yes, please.
All right. If you could get, someone could get you a blue card, please, and as soon as Supervisor Haas is finished, we'll call on.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. I just wanted to state that I believe several of my constituents are here, and they like to express opinion on this matter. They have made themselves known. Thank you for doing that. And that was all I was saying this right now. Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right. And thank you for letting many of us know we have them here to speak before we get to a vote. Why don't we have, since you spoke up, why don't you come forward? Please introduce yourself to the committee.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Janice Rock. I live in the city of Milwaukee. I border on the beautiful nature preserve that is being discussed as part of the Marion Center. I represent 12 families, and we are opposed to any further development of this beautiful area and the historic St. Mary's Academy building. Currently, it's being used for nonprofit organizations, have offices in there. That's working well. There are 100 senior citizens living a very short distance from this proposed project, and there's many elderly nuns living in this nature preserve. The sisters are spending a lot of time and energy making an ecology center, planting trees, having the grapes grow. I see coyotes and deer, and I don't want that changed. I am opposed to this project, and I represent 12 other neighbors. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Maybe you could be
the card.
I will, as soon as I finish filling it out.
Next person, please identify yourself. Make sure you turn in that blue card.
My name is Jackie Smooker. I live at 3153 South Superior Street, which is in the city of Milwaukee and is adjoining this property, essentially. We have jurisdictional issues here because technically it is St. Francis, but the impact will be felt mostly by people living in the Bayview neighborhood, which is city of Milwaukee. I agree with comments that were just made about opposing this project. I think you have to look at the unique characteristics of this site. First of all, it is prime real estate in the sense that it is on the lakefront. And at present time, we have 100 units of senior housing. Some of that is subsidized housing. And to bring in 40 more housing units on this site would not be a good idea. I think that we want peace and quiet in this neighborhood. I'm going to say an aside here just because I'm looking at you and it occurred to me. You say that the center has bus transportation. That bus transportation was something that we also oppose in the neighborhood. There was an extension of the 51 bus that was just completed without any input from neighbors who are affected by it. That bus at present is not being used, it's rarely used, and it is a nuisance in the neighborhood. It is on a trial basis for 6 months. We are trying to get that bus to go back to its original turnaround point, which is more suitable for everyone involved, including the handicapped, who are better served by the old turnaround than the present one, which is hazardous for them. But back to this project as such, as I see it, there are five constituent groups that are affected. Number one, I think this is an inappropriate project for the people that you, in fact, intend to serve. If anyone goes past that building, that school is an institution-looking setting, and putting 40 units is multiple units in this setting. It does not do what you intend, which is to have these people that you're talking about serving live in the community, because this is, in fact, an institutional setting. And the rest of the block of where I live has 9 houses. These are single-family homes with one exception. And to pack 40 more units into an area that already has 100 units in an institutional setting is not, I think, what you want for them. Secondly, the senior citizens, these 100 units of housing, are not very pleased about the fact that they're going to have 40 families in their front yard. These people's needs need to be taken into consideration as well, and they wish to live in peace and quiet in this beautiful section that really needs to be preserved for nature and for the present circumstances. The people of Bayview are going to have their neighborhood dramatically changed in a way that they don't appreciate. The people of St. Francis also are overloaded with multiple unit structures. Their smart growth plan indicates that they need more green space and single-family homes. This does not suit that project at all. And lastly, we have the park users who cannot enjoy this precious gem, the most beautiful view of Milwaukee in the entire city. And, you know, we're going to destroy the peace and quiet by having more traffic and more congestion. You know, I think the bus is a first step. It's already a nuisance. It's already interfering with people's enjoyment. Emergency vehicles can't get through on the street anymore because it's a narrow street. My house shakes every time the bus goes by, you know, and this is a foreshadowing of things that we see happening. In addition to which, I'm very concerned that we're locked in to this housing in this particular location for 20 years. As I think many of you know, some of you may not, the Cousins Center is for sale. That's just down the block from where we're talking. That's the sale of that building or that property is going to have a huge impact on the community. I think to go a little bit north of there and lock in these subsidized housing units for 20 years is inappropriate, because I think that you need to have a larger vision and I think that you need to look at the development of that whole area of the South Shore. And I think the neighborhood is in flux. We don't know what things are going to look like. Hopefully there will be some enlightened planning. Many of us know that the project that's south of the Cousin Center, the housing units in St. Francis, have not been a success, and that there are many vacant units, and they really don't enhance the lakefront. My view, and the view of many in our neighborhood, is that the South Shore needs to be respected. It's a precious gem, beautiful area, and it needs to be enhanced, and we don't want to do anything that would detract from people's ability, everyone in the county and from outside, to enjoy this area. And I don't think that this particular project is a good use of that space. I think the project is a wonderful idea someplace else. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that wishes to speak? Please state your name.
My name is Jim Thomas. I live in the Bayview area. I have a business in the Bayview area as well. The block that we live on is predominantly owner-occupied, more senior people, more people coming close to retirement age, such as myself. Is this the best use of this land that we can come up with? And how is this going to affect the property values of all of these people that are approaching retirement age? Low-income housing doesn't enhance property values. But really, is this the best that we can do? I understand there's a need for housing for people. I understand special needs, special transportation. But the Bayview neighborhood is an old neighborhood. It's structured for horse and carriages on a lot of streets. And you're going to really increase the density of traffic and the populace in that area. And I think it will have an adverse effect on the property taxpayers who have been paying taxes for a long time. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that wishes to speak on this project?
There's a phone here with somebody.
Did someone leave a cell phone? That's yours. Please identify yourself.
I'm Marguerite Woodville. I live on 3307 South Illinois Avenue, and I've lived in my home for 28 years. I really enjoy the Bayview area, and my concern is the environment. I'm very concerned about the input or the imprint that we put in that area of where you're considering putting the units. I'm concerned about the environment. I'm also concerned about the historical issues that it's going to change. I'm opposed of this project.
Thank you. Is there anyone else wishing to speak on the Marion Center project? All right. Please give us a blue card and identify yourself.
I'm Eric Schweiker, and I'm with Cardinal Capital Management, and we would be in the role of a co-developer with the Marion Center. This is a very early stage in this project, and so maybe just a couple things can be said at a very early stage. First, it's in St. Francis, and in St. Francis, this is a tax credit that serves people 60% or less of median income in the county. As it works out, most of the people in St. Francis, the majority of the people in St. Francis, are below 60% of income. When you look at it from a St. Francis point of view, for all of the families in St. Francis, this is a housing opportunity that is better than what they already have, that they afford, and that they qualify for. So when we think about affordable housing sometimes, I think we think of it as for folks at the 10 or 20% of the population, and I think that's good to have for them, but this is actually for the majority of people in St. Francis. That's something. The Sisters of St. Francis have taken 70, almost 10 years trying to think through what's the future for this property. They are very, very careful stewards. They have done all kinds of reviews of what they ought to do from a marketing perspective and what they might have, and beyond financial values, as you might expect, spiritual values are very important to them. The boards that come into play in this are, there is a board for Canical Court, which is the senior housing, a board for Juniper Court, which is the senior housing. There is the sisters themselves, and there is then the board of the Marion Center. All of them have reviewed this. All of them think this is the direction that they would like to go in. Sisters are not in a position over the next 20 years to as much as they love the beauty of the site and wish to maintain it as much as they possibly can, they are not in a position to simply treat it as a nature preserve going forward. They do not have the funds to maintain their buildings. They do not have enough funds to maintain the convent. They don't have enough funds to maintain the church. They don't have, the school is closed. I mean, there are some nonprofits in there. They have, do not have the funds. It's steam heated at St. Francis. They don't have the funds to maintain that system. They don't have the funds to maintain Juniper Court or Canical Court. They need to do some things to try to make this piece of ground pay their bills and make and allow this piece of ground to maintain as much beauty and to be as effective as it can going forward. But if they were to ignore all of the economics, all we would have would be a financial disaster on our hands, and no one in the community would win. They, after almost 10 years of thinking it through, decided that when the opportunity came up to do something that was mixed housing on incomes, and that's the way it really is, again, most of the housing geared towards a majority of people that live in the St. Francis, and 11 units geared towards developmentally disabled, which does not create issues that maybe we normally think about when we're worried about how group homes and so forth work. These would probably be five families headed by someone developmentally disabled and five families with a child that way. They thought it would fit their mission to work with that. And then they worked with Milwaukee Center for Independence to imagine a way that Milwaukee Center for Independence could provide daily 24-hour support for those 11, and at the same time, something very important to them, provide support for the seniors, because they have a number of seniors who are losing the ability to live at Canical and Juniper Court unless we can do things to extend their ability to be there. And again, these are costs the sisters cannot handle, but in the context of this particular building, they could handle it. The goal is to preserve the facade of Loretto Hall, to maintain it as it is, and to build within that some units and do an extension. At the end of the day, we would have 40 units and we would have some covered indoor parking. And it is actually a fairly considerable distance if you were walking it from the houses that we're looking at. The sisters have great respect for their neighbors, and the sisters are deeply concerned that their neighbors, if you will, are okay with and approve what they're doing, but they also know that they have to move into the future. So what I think will happen here, what we hope will happen, is as we move forward and get designs, very willing to sit down with all groups. We certainly have to sit down with St. Francis and walk it through with St. Francis, but we would certainly want to sit down with neighbors and go through plans, not just for this building, but for change that sooner or later must come to this property if we're going to be able to preserve the core values of the property that we all love.
Anyone else here to speak on the Marion Center project? Madam Clerk, we do have a motion for approval before us. Please call the roll.
Supervisors Bowen?
Aye.
Mayo?
Aye.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Weishan?
Aye.
Taylor?
Aye.
Madam Chair?
Aye.
7 ayes, 0 noes. The item is approved.